questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have several this morning. We're going to start off with Mr. Britton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have five federal grant applications this morning to consider. One of them is a joint federal grant application from SDSD, VRD, and the Mental Health Division, and four of them are combined in the second agenda item, which Rick will be taking care of from the Health Division and the Office of Drug and Alcohol Prevention. With that, I will turn it back to you.
Who do you want up first?
It's Doug.
Of course, Doug, you get to sit through all of them, don't you, Doug?
We'll see.
Ms. Kinney, are you going to be with all of them, too? So you just state that.
Thanks.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Doug Wilson, Administrator of the Office of Finance and Policy Analysis. I will present the first grant and then rely on others for the other grants. The first grant, as Mr. Britton did mention, was a joint grant from our Vocational Rehab, Mental Health Development Disability Services Division, and our Senior and Disabled Services Division. It deals with systems change grant for community living. This is a rather new initiative by the federal government that President Bush announced in, I believe, February, if I'm not mistaken, but relatively early this year, part of his New Freedom Initiative to assist adults and children to live as independently as they can in communities. Recall we were here, let's say, 3 to 4 weeks ago for another related grant. This was a grant for $50,000 that was made pretty much available to every state that applied that helped pay for getting clients involved in the development process of various grants, including this one. And in that process, we are using that group of clients, which actually are meeting today for the second time. We've invited about 30 clients from a variety of our interest groups or service areas in the department to help us develop this grant. This grant was announced in mid-May, May 17th, and the applications are due July 20th, a rather short time frame and one that we are doing our best in hurry to put together a sound proposal for. The grants will be awarded before October 1. These grants, and there are four components of the grants, really help us meet one of our goals of the department, one of our four major goals, and that is to have people live as independently as possible. And it does also promote collaboration among three of our divisions that are part of the department. The four parts of this grant are around nursing facility transitions, and that's to help states transition eligible individuals from nursing facilities to community settings, something we've been very successful in some parts of our department systems. In this case, we're going to target those that have multi-needs, whether they're mental illness or some kind of other disability. The second component is community integrated personal assistance services and supports. Basically, that's designed to help people with disabilities or a long-term illness live in the community with personal assistance services. And really what we're also striving there is for maximum consumer choice and sort of helping manage their own care. Third component is real choices, systems change, and that's looking at designing and implementing long-term strategies in these areas and also looking at the least costly. The fourth component, which we are not eligible to apply for, is a National Technical Assistance Exchange portion, and we will not be applying for any of those grants. We are applying for the first three components.
Doug, how does, in looking at this, does it differ from what we're currently doing?
This the grant here is really strengthening of what we've already done, but looking at some specific populations and some specific areas that we need to improve on. A lot of this at the federal level comes from from the Olmstead case, which I think we've talked to you about before, which is making sure that folks have the ability to move out of an institutional setting into a community setting. And we're doing a good job in many or most of our areas. We have a very developed long-term care system in the senior area. Our DD population with the Staley case is moving in that direction in a good manner, In the mental illness area, we probably have some movement to go. We actually do have a court case in that area now that was filed a few months ago, probably around the turn of the year. I can't remember the exact date. As if we're getting people out of our state institutions into community settings, something we've been doing, but not in not as fast as at least what those plaintiffs would like to do. So that's how it differs some. It builds basically on what we have already and helps strengthen that. As part of that these grants, what we really want to do is seek cost-effective solutions to those growing populations. We have very quick-growing expenditures in these areas, and we really do need to step back and start taking a look at some of those areas to find the most cost-effective way as this, some of these populations grow, specifically in the senior area, as well as in some of the disabilities. We want to get greater provider training, consumer training in this training in this area, both how providers in terms of quality of care in those areas, and also strengthen the ability of consumers where appropriate to have choice in managing their care. And we want to take a look at supported housing and other technologies, and I'll use that term loosely, on what is the most appropriate way to do this. And as I said, this is a collaboration among our many divisions. There is no state match. There will be some in-kind matches that we can easily use from our own, from existing expenditures that are in the already in our budget as you have passed. And like I said, the grants are for 3 years, and they expect to be awarded in October. I do have some folks here that have been working on the grant. If there is any specific questions.
Questions. What is the dollar amount of the grants to be
made? Grants will be, we can apply for up to $6 million we could award, be awarded up to $6 million if we got a grant in each of the three areas we're applying for. More likely, we will get less than that, of course. And that's $6 million over 3 years.
Representative Schrader.
Series of little questions, if I may. Will these dollars actually buy us staff or housing needs to help with the various populations?
I'm going to get the technical experts here before I move. Someone that's actually been working on the application. Make sure you state your name.
Yes, my name is Carl Rear. I work in the Office of Mental Health Services. I'm a residential supports coordinator, and I'm one of the staff that's been involved in development of the grant, working with Consumer Task Force. We've had one meeting with the Consumer Task Force at which we've begun to discuss ideas. The issue of housing is really a critical one. As in terms of what's been discussed thus far, we've identified some limited duration positions, a couple of positions that would help consumers and the agencies to collaborate more effectively with Federal Housing and Urban Development Agency. And
I guess I'm not asking for specifics. Yeah, I just want to know, can the money be used to actually deliver services, or is this coordination planning money?
There's a portion within the grants, there's a portion of the funds that can be used for direct services, ranging from the nursing transition grant, actually all of it could be used for direct services. In the Real Choice grant, it's down to 20%. What's been talked about is using funds to help with some of the things that are important for consumers in terms of their movement into their homes, but that we have difficulty paying for, so startup costs, et cetera.
Does this help us implement the Staley Agreement in any way?
To the degree that the population served, since it's a broad-based population, so to the degree that the population served would include people covered within the Staley suit, yeah.
Follow up.
Were these funds anticipated in the Staley agreement at all?
Follow up.
Could some of these funds be used to fund some of the senior mental health projects, like an SDSD, that haven't quite made it back into the budget, as far as I know, at this point?
I think I'd have to defer to...
That's a pretty small amount of money, as I recollect, to begin with.
$85,000, Representative Scherer, I believe.
Could that money be used to cover, this money be used to cover $85,000 worth of projects that so far we don't have funding for?
I think we have to go back and take a specific look at that. If that meets it, then we can get back to you.
Now, could you look at that?
Yeah.
I don't, I'm not sure we're at the end of session. Hopefully, we're at the end of session here. I guess I'm trying to give some direction to the department. I'd like to see it used for something like that. That seems to be a need. That seems to be a crossover type of project that didn't get in either budget that I'm aware of yet. And to the extent that it can be used to further our work in the Staley agreement or to deal with the Olmstead or this court case you referred to, I think that would probably be good use of the money, not just more planning and coordination. We've done quite a little of that. I think the Staley agreement's got us pretty well down that line. So to the extent that...
Madam Chair, Representative Scherer, we'll take a look at that today and get back to you as soon as possible on that.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you.
Representative Schrader.
I move we approve the request for submission of a federal Department of Health and Human Services Health Care Financing Administration grant application in the amount of up to $6 million for 3 years for improving community services for adults and children with disabilities or long-term illnesses, as recommended by LFO.
You did recommend that, didn't you, Ms. Britton? Can we hear from DAS?
Calling Kenny, Department of Administrative Services, we recommend that you approve the request.
Madam Chair and members, LFO also recommends approval of this request, and we note in our analysis that the agency has offered to come back to come to the e-board with a report on the grant application if the grant is awarded.
Representative Schrader moves that we approve the recommendation of LFO. Senator Yee.
A quick question. Is this for mentally ill clients only?
No, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, it's anyone with a disability or long-term illness that the target group is the Medicaid population in this area. So it's larger than that.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, approved. Secretary, it's
approved.
Ms. Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next, the next agenda item is a series of grant applications, and for simplification, we have compiled these into one action item for you. There are four grants, two of which are from the Health Division. One is a joint grant application with the Health Division and the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, and then the fourth is a grant application by the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs. And there are folks from those departments and divisions here to address these grants.
Who's going to come forward for the agencies in case there are questions? They're ready to go.
Madam Chair, I'm Danelle Dodson from the Health Division. I'm here to speak to the grant request for fetal alcohol syndrome, request to Centers for Disease Control, and this is a partnership grant between the Health Division and the Program for Alcohol and Drug Abuse. The emphasis of this program is on parent, consumer, educator, professional education, and developing systems to assist clients to get in for screening, referral, and treatment. The range of requests, the dollar amount is anywhere from $70,000 to $200,000. We propose doing four pilot sites and demonstrating how we can assure that we have a system developed for educating of consumers and the professional group, as well as educating from then to test in those pilot areas how we can assure that we have a good system for screening pregnant women and infants.
What are the designated pilot sites? Or have you
We've identified Union County, Linn County, Lincoln County, and the Grand Ronde Tribe.
And what was the reason that you selected those counties?
Madam Chair, we looked at the diversity of our state. We wanted to have something on the eastern part. We wanted something in the valley, and we wanted something on the coast. We also wanted to look at our tribal organizations to see how this might work with them. We also looked at access to our state offices, so looking at how close they could be so that we could work together with them. We also looked at the incidence rate of alcohol use in those areas. This grant award will be in September, and
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gwen Crams. I'm with the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, and I do have a cold.
These are cold or hay fever.
So I will beg your indulgence as I croak through this. We are requesting your support to apply for the State Treatment Needs Assessment Program Cooperative Agreement. This will provide up to $300,000 each year for 3 years to help us develop our data and client data collection systems. We hope that this grant will help us to comply with some of the budget notes that we are facing at the current time. We will use the money especially to develop systems to link our client data to data from secondary databases, for example, the Department of Corrections, the State Police, motor vehicles, so that we can see what happens to our clients in those systems following treatment.
We're getting this from Representative Strader.
It's good, huh?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Madam Chair, so this grant will help you collect data to track your cases, and it says referral and follow-up on how successful the program is.
And Chairman Senator Yee, that is correct.
Another question.
Senator Yee?
Referral means refer them to treatment and services that's available in the area.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, yes, actually we hope that we can check both ways, look at people being referred into our system from other systems and people being referred out of our system to other systems, things like SCF for child care.
Senator Yee. So you can track also whether there are treatments available or not in those areas.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, actually we have committed to assign a person full-time to track that apart from this grant. It's a pledge that we've made, though, for the residential services.
Mm-hmm. Representative Patrick?
Madam Chair, I just would encourage them, if we approve this grant application, to work with the CJIS group, which is the Criminal Justice Information Systems group. This has got them working together on an integration project this time, and this would, I think, be important to making sure that our system works as a holistic system.
And Chair, Representative Patridge, we would be thrilled to work with that group.
Sure. Rick?
I think we're ready for the next two that are both Health Division grants.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dr. Mel Cohn. I'm the state epidemiologist at the Health Division of the Department of Human Services. And I'm here to speak to two grant applications that we're seeking permission to apply for. The first is a grant from the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, ATSDR, and that's for a grant entitled The Program to Conduct and Coordinate Site-Specific Activities. This is a grant that will give us up to $400,000 per year for up to 5 years, and this will enable us to better respond to communities with regard to environmental health issues. It's a pretty frequent occurrence that we get inquiries from the public about various toxicologic and environmental health concerns and what effects these are having on human health. And that's quite different from much of the work that an agency like, for example, DEQ is involved in, because this is specifically focusing on the human health effects. We haven't had the capacity to respond as much as we'd like to those public concerns. We think that those are real and important concerns that we'd like to respond to, and we believe that this grant would give us the ability to do that more effectively. It will focus on some specific sites where we know there is some environmental contamination, for example, the Port of Portland, which is now a Superfund cleanup site. Again, we will work with members of the affected communities and try to answer their concerns about the human health effects as much as we're able to. So that's the first of these.
Representative Schrader.
I'm not sure what this money would be used for. Is this more testing of the ground or the water to establish where the source of pollution may be? What would the money be used for?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, no, it generally would not be used for testing. That's something that's sort of outside of the province of this particular grant. Not so much focused on the source, the environmental source, but the human health effects. So, for example, preparing materials or attending meetings with the community to respond to concerns that community members have and give out information about the environmental health effects. So it's focused, again, on the human health side of it rather than the environmental testing piece of it.
It sounds like it's focused more on the human information side of it. I don't see where this has a lot of horsepower as far as actually improving public health. I would assume if you live by the Port of Portland Superfund site, you'd assume that it was not a good thing, that you probably would not be, you know, wanting to visit that site on a regular basis with your infant child like that, or the Mattel Tyco that's there. I guess I'm concerned there's not any action in this particular grant. It's more fluff, if I may say so.
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, I think that there's a lot of activities that people can do on their own to protect themselves from different contaminants in the environment if they have the knowledge that they need to do this. And you give the example of the Superfund site. We know that there are a lot of very severe pollutants in that area, and yet we also know that there are a lot of people who are out there fishing and may not be aware, for example, of the health effects of eating those kinds of fish that are caught in that area. That's one small example where some targeted education to reach these communities we think can be quite effective, and that's one part of this. The other aspect of this, I think, is that we do have a lot of concern from the community wanting information, and we want to be able to respond to that concern. We think that's part of our job.
Representative Patridge.
Is there no money available through the Superfund monies? I mean, doesn't the Superfund provide some outreach to the local communities, or is that not the case?
Madam Chair, Representative Patridge, I believe there is a small amount of money that does come through Superfund to do this, but that's part of ATSDR's charge, is to handle the human health effects side of Superfund cleanup. So this is precisely a mechanism for some of those funds to come to the health department to do this kind of work. The DEQ is very supportive of this. They've, in fact, want to write us a letter of support for this grant application, and we anticipate that we will work very closely with them, since obviously the environmental piece of it, you know, knowing exactly what's going on with that is an important part.
Senator Hartung.
This is along that same line. We have a very contentious bill in the legislature now, House Bill 2010, relating to cleaning up the Willamette, and I understand that the EPA really doesn't have their plan of action. That's what I hear in all these things. Everybody's got the good ideas. Yes, we know the Willamette is polluted, but no one has a plan of action, near as I can tell. Let me give you an example. I was here 30 years ago when we spent a lot of time and energy and money We thought we cleaned up the Willamette. Governor McCall, Governor Straub, you know, it was a glorious day. But obviously they didn't even address the problem of the toxic soup that's in the bottom of the Willamette. It's been there 100 years. World War I is when, I'm told, the pollution started. So what you're asking for, is there any way that you can assist whoever takes on the project of cleaning up the Willamette, that you'll be involved in that?
Madam Chair, Senator Hartung, in terms of actually doing the actual cleanup work, that's not, as I understand it, within the scope of this grant. But certainly, if you're going to do that kind of cleanup work, one of the things you need to take into account is what the effects would be on human health in the communities that are around that particular area. For example, you know, if you're dredging something up on the bottom and it gets aerosolized, that might affect people who are going to breathe in that air. So both giving some input into that process and also collecting information about communities' concerns, feeding that into the process, and responding to the community's concerns with information. In that sense, we would have something more directly to do with the cleanup. But I don't believe that these funds can be used, for example, to use the example I gave before, to actually dredge up some of the stuff and remove it.
Representative Patridge.
Are you involved in either one of these two? Are you involved in the Superfund site or the Mattel site at all, aside from these monies that you're asking for?
Madam Chair, Representative Patridge, we have made a few visits to the Mattel site. We've also gone with DEQ and EPA officials and looked at the Superfund site areas in the Port of Portland, but we haven't had the capacity to get more deeply involved with that, to take the Mattel-Tyco site, for example. We believe that there's probably about over 10,000 workers that may have been exposed to TCE in their drinking water, and we have some concerns about what those health effects are, and there's a lot of concern in the community that we'd like to respond to, but we haven't had the capacity to be able to do that. We have tried to play the role of linking folks at the national level who might have some funding, for example, at ATSDR, for example, making them aware that this site is there and what the concerns and issues are. And so in that sense, we have been somewhat involved, but we haven't been able to do the kind of job that we feel we ought to do there.
Thank you. Is there another one that you wanted to go on?
Yes. The second grant is a grant for $200,000 a year for up to 3 years. And this is also from the Centers for Disease Control, and it's called Building Environmental Health Services Capacity in the State and Local Departments of Public Health. This is really a grant that will enable us to help out many of the county environmental health services programs that are small and in great need of training and assistance, and that's really what this grant is focused on. The first part of it involves assessing what those training and assistance needs might be, and then developing some training and assistance that will be usable for these folks. As you may know, in some counties, the environmental health staff, you know, the sanitarians and inspectors, there may be just one person who's involved, and of course they're very busy taking care of all the inspections and so forth that they have to do on a day-to-day basis, and often don't have the kinds of resources available to them for training and assistance. So this grant would enable us to help those folks out.
Questions? Further questions? On that, the one prior to this, the ATSDR grant, do you do these activities already, some of these activities already?
Mr. Chair?
Whatever.
Yes, we do. They're done in our environmental and occupational epidemiology program.
Chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the, what is it, four federal grant applications as stated for the record.
Hi, Colleen Kinney, Department of Administrative Services. We recommend that you approve the request.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends you approve the request. I do want to point out that the Health Division has indicated in their grants that if additional staff are needed, they will contract for those and that they will not hire any FTE to perform the functions of these grants.
So noted. Mr. Patridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to put on the record, I am concerned about the ATSDR grant. I'm concerned that it that we're injecting another federal agency, or I mean another state agency, in an already complicated mess to deal with. And I just don't want to overly complicate matters by throwing more and more state agencies in with the federal agencies. I think the people on the ground probably know what they're doing, but I'm willing to see what you guys can do with this. But if it further complicates the resolving the issues by adding more and more people around the table, that is a concern to me.
So noted. I agree. Any more discussion? Any objections? Approved. Thank you for your patience. Anything else?
I need a carrier to pull from that Hills grant.
Senator Yee, would you mind carrying that? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. We're adjourned. We meet in the